This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد my brothers and sisters in life if you look at our careers and our plans for the future and so on There is a fundamental rule. And the rule is that the more valuable something is, the more the effort you have to make to get it. Right? The more valuable something is, I'm talking about careers, for example, the more valuable something is, the more effort it needs. Right? So, for example, if you want a career, you want to be a specialist neurosurgeon. And in comparison, there is somebody who wants to be a GP, a general practitioner, right? Which is a, what is the term for a general practitioner in America? Clinician or something, right? The two are different. Who has to study more? How many years more? The clinician, the one who wants to be a GP, or the one who wants to be a neurosurgeon? Who has to study more? Right? Obviously, I mean the neurosurgeon. So the neurosurgeon is going to study many years more. And obviously, that means his life will be that much more difficult. Maybe he or she wants to get married, but they can't get married because there is this huge pressure of study. So he said, no, hold on a second. You first finish all this, then you think about marriage. Right now you can't think about marriage, and so on and so on. But they take that, they take on all of that and they bear all that difficulty because I want to become a neurosurgeon. There is no guarantee that he will become a neurosurgeon. He might die before that, who knows, right? Life and death is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He might not pass the exams. At the end of all of that, he might still, you know, not make the mark. There are people who fail. He might be one of them. But there is this hope. I want to become, I will become. Similarly, somebody who wants to, say there are two people who want to learn to fly. I mean, I am one of them. I want to learn, at some point in time, I want to learn how to fly. But as far as I am concerned, my idea of flight is that I want to be able to get a pilot's license and, you know, take a Cessna, four-seater or something in the air, go fly around, come back. Purely recreational. But supposing there is somebody who not only wants to fly, but he wants to become a test pilot for fighter aircraft. So he is now talking about flying, not just flying Cessna, four-seater planes, he's talking about flying for the current period, phantoms which are going at 2 Mach or something. Now, that's a whole different ball game, right? That's not the same thing as flying a four-seater Cessna. That's a completely different ball game. Or somebody says, I want to be an astronaut and I want to spend 6 months in the space station, International Space Station. Now, that is something entirely different, another world. The kind of training, the physical conditioning, the studying, and so on and so on and so on. Why do they do that? Because it is worth it. For them, it is worth it. So, the basic fundamental principle in life is that the more valuable something is, the more effort it takes, the more inconvenience you have to accept to get that. Right? Now, connect it back to Islam. That's the purpose of all these reminders. We connect everything back to Islam. Tell me, is it convenient to pray 5 times in one day, 24 hours, 5 times? That also preferred to pray in the masjid by jama'ah, or even if not in the masjid, somewhere by jama'ah. Is it convenient? No. Highly inconvenient. It would be much more convenient to pray 1 time in the day. It would be even more convenient to pray 1 time in a week. Why do we pray 5 times in a day? We agree it's inconvenient. We are not saying it's good. And also, usul. You must be in wudu. If you don't have wudu, go make wudu. Not always convenient to make wudu. We don't know which place and what not and so on and so on. No. There's no ruksa in that. Okay, no problem. It's inconvenient to wudu. Pray without wudu. No problem. No. You can't do that. I'll make tayammum. No. If water is available, tayammum is not possible. Not jais. Now the lady says, I put on all this makeup. Now I have to make wudu. It'll wash up. I just make tayammum. No. Makeup, no makeup. You have to pray at its time. Very inconvenient. Why do we do it? Because this is the guarantee of Jannah, inshaAllah. Yes? As-salatu miftahul Jannah. Key of the Jannah. Hadith al-Qudsi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who prays the five salah on time, for salah, five salah on time, on the day of judgment, it is my responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, it's my responsibility to forgive him and enter him into Jannah. And if he does not do that, then I may do it, I may not do it, not my responsibility. Right? So now compare the inconvenience to this guarantee of Jannah, inshaAllah. And see the rahmah of Allah. Allah did not say this salah should be with khushu. This salah, you must be perfect in your recitation. This salah, you must not forget. No. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Five salah on time, the rahmah of Allah. Five salah on time. Ya Rab, my salah, you know my salah. No problem, you pray. That's it. Ya Allah, my brain goes here and there, all my thoughts. No problem, pray. Ya Allah, I forget, make sahu. Pray. Ya Allah, my recitation is not good. Pray. Jannah. Eh? Very inconvenient. Now take the inconvenience, compare it to this. So what do you think? Fasting. Is it convenient? 29 days, 30 days, no water, no food, no this, no that, can't say. Whole long list. Especially if it comes in the summer, long days. If it comes in summer in our countries also, right now, the temperature in Delhi is 50.2 Celsius. Do the calculation. 50.2 Celsius. You can fry an egg on a street. But if I fast, what do I get? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't even say what you will get. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, As-sawmu li wa ana ajzibi. The fast is for me and I will reward it. The reward is so great that Allah did not even, no need to count, I will reward. Inconvenient, very inconvenient, but the reward for that. Take Hajj. Tell me which part of Hajj is convenient. Hajj is almost like designed for pain. Designed for pain. Just those, that one single day, 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. And before that, if you take the day in Mina and Muzdalifah and back and forth like 2-3 days. You miss those 2-3 days? No, whole year gone. Ya Allah, you know, why don't I go in nice weather and so on and same Kaaba, same Arafat, I will go make, I'll do all the stuff, I go stand. No. Has to be in those days. Ya Rab, but in those days, 3 million other people come. It's very, very inconvenient. Do it. Not only do it, okay, I'll do it. But you know, if I'm dressed like what Ali is dressed now, nice Under Armour t-shirt and nice, you know, nice tracksuit trousers and some nice shoes, which because you have to walk and whatnot, so comfortable shoes and so on and so forth. No way, brother. No, you have to wear the ihram. What is more, subhanAllah, may Allah have mercy on me. What is more undignified, more unfashionable, more inconvenient, more uncomfortable than the ihram? Can you think of anything else which is one piece of glass rock? To keep this up is a problem, right? You need to have a belt or something. You don't know when it will fall down, right? That cloth around your waist. Then another one on top. To keep these two, and then you can't have buttons, you can't have this, you can't have that, you can't have stitched, underwear. And shoes, no shoes. You have to wear slippers. Those slippers also, the upper, the top of the foot, the bone should be visible. No head covering. It's cold. The first Hajj I did in 1997 in Madina, when you put on the ihram, I froze. It was so cold. I can't do anything. I'm freezing, so freeze. And because of the thing, there's complete airflow around the whole body, you know. Then you go, then you Arafat, and you miss the Muzdalifah, and you come here, and then the Tawaf. How inconvenient is that? But the reward is what? Complete freedom from, complete forgiveness. As if you were born on that day. Hajj Mabrur, as if you are born on that day. Now take that and say, is it worth that inconvenience? Is it worth? Is it not worth? Say, SubhanAllah. We forget everything. Forget what inconvenience? Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity to come to His house and do. Similarly, final point, following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Any sunnah. There are some sunnahs which are actually not even inconvenient. They're so easy. There is one of the biggest, one of the most powerful sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is also a hukam, which is also his instruction and order and his sunnah, which takes no effort, zero effort, happens automatically. You know what that is? Huh? Allah, yeah. Do nothing, it grows. One day my friend tells me, you know, Sheikh, I'm making so much effort, it's not growing. I said, that's why it's not growing. You're making effort every day with Gillette. How will it grow? Stop making effort, it'll grow. Yeah, inshallah. Sunnah, any sunnah. This is easy, but some are difficult, some are inconvenient. I agree. One of the famous ones for which we have every year our annual moon fighting. Yeah? And we say it's inconvenient. Why is it inconvenient? Because the moon sighting, by the time the moon is sighted, it is very late in the night. So are we beginning Ramadan or not? Is it Eid tomorrow or not? We don't know. We have to wait till 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Believe me, the same people never complain when there is Super Bowl. They never complain when there is, a World Cup happening in Qatar and they are sitting at 3 o'clock in the night and watching the World Cup match for 2 hours. Nobody bothers. That's not inconvenient. But a little bit of inconvenience too. Wait for the moon sighting. No, why don't we calculate? Why don't we do that? Why don't we use an app? Inconvenient. Is it inconvenient? Yeah, of course it is. I'm not saying it is. Yeah, it is inconvenient. And since I don't watch Super Bowl or World Cup, for me it is even more inconvenient because I don't even have the comparison. I don't even have the comparison. But it's inconvenient. But what is the benefit? The benefit is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I'll give you the ayat and the hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah said, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to those people who claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make my ittiba, follow me, imitate me, emulate me, do what I tell you to do. Do what I do not tell you to do just because you love me. That is the meaning of emulation. Emulation is to do even though he may not have instructed. Then what will happen? Allah will love you. Allah will love you. And what is the boundary condition? What is the basic thing? The first thing that happens when Allah loves you? Yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wallahu ghafur rahim. We talked about the maghfirat for all the sins at the end of Hajj. This is what it means. Yaghfir lakum dhunub. Allah will forgive all your sins. Why? Because you made ittiba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And what about the one who does not do that? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. He said, the one who leaves or discards or denies my sunnah, he is not from me. Now imagine you are going down the day of judgment. You want to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you want to say, Ya Rab, I am the ummati of your Rasul alayhi salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, hold on a second. أَنْتَ لَيْسَ مِنِّي. خَلَاسْ. روح. Limaza? Because you denied my sunnah. I told you. An raghiba an sunnati. An sunnati. Which sunnah? Any sunnah. So you might say, am I... What about all the... The principle of the sunnah is, do whatever you can do. What you cannot do, we ask Allah to excuse us. But we do not deny any of them. That is the main thing. Right. So if there are, say, like, you know, this sunnah on this and sunnah, alhamdulillah, everything is sunnah. So maybe I can't do all, I will do whatever I can do. But if somebody says, what about this? Is it a sunnah? Of course it is a sunnah. You are not doing, I may not be doing, I will try my best to do it. But is it a, yes, it is a sunnah. I will not go against it, I will not deny it, I will not say we should not do it. This is the basic principle of sunnah. So if we do this, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love us. And inshallah, we will be counted among those for whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, these are from me.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us very clearly, see the moon and start fasting, see the moon and stop fasting. He did not say that because he did not know any other method of calculation. The methods of calculation that we are using today are over 3,000 years old. They were there at that time. They were known to him. He did not say, use them. He said, see the moon and start, see the moon and stop. This is the value of the word of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are people who believe in a religion of the ghaib, of the unknown, the unseen, the unperceivable, known only to Allah and to His Rasul alayhi salam, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to teach him. So when he says, do it this way, it means that there is some benefit in that which we don't understand. Our iman lies in believing him and doing what he says, not in using our intelligence and pretending that we are doing something which is modern and new. There's nothing modern, nothing new about calculations of the moon. As I said, they have been known for over 3,000 years. We follow the order of our Rasul alayhi salam because he said so. No other reason. We follow it because he says so. Just like we believe in Allah because he said so. Now for those who don't want to follow him, that's their choice. We have no quarrel with them. That's their choice. But this is our choice, that we will follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and not anybody else.
So I remind myself and you, let us remember this. Any time any thought comes about, this is inconvenient, this is painful, this is, it would be better to change that, change this. My brothers and sisters, any time there is a sunnah of the Rasul alayhi salam, any time there is a hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not the job of a Muslim to change it, it is a job of the Muslim to follow it. Allah did not send us to change the deen, Allah sent us to follow the deen. Allah did not send His kitab for us to change it. He sent His kitab for us to follow it. He did not send His Nabi for us to change Him. He sent His Nabi for Him, for the Nabi to change us. So we follow the Nabi alayhi salam. Right? So always please keep this in mind. Anytime anybody comes to you and say, you know, this is inconvenient, say, for Allah subhanAllah, anything worthwhile is inconvenient. We do it because we think it is worthwhile. So tell me, do you think following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is worth it or not worth it? That is the bottom line. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with ita'at and khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the hub of Allah and the hub of His Nabi alayhi salam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika rahmatika.